This is Franchise Today, brought to you by FRM Solutions, providers of the best-in-class software solutions for franchise relationship management. Franchise Today is your destination for weekly information, conversations, and interviews with accomplished industry leaders, all of whom share best practices for sustainable growth and sensible franchising. Here now, your host, Stan Friedman, to kick off this week's podcast.
Today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. I'm Stan Friedman, and this is Franchise Today. Well, thanks again to John Francis, Johnny Franchise, as we know him, for giving us a tremendous interview last week. Great opportunity to talk good old times with great people like John, who have been around franchising generationally and is so willing to share. The same could be said, too, about today's guest when it comes to the Pay It Forward department, and we're going to have a dynamic conversation with Colette Bell, who, along with her husband Andy, are the co-founders of Handyman Matters, and today they are the executive team at the head of the table for Ace Handyman Services. That conversation is straight ahead, but first a quick timeout and a word from Atmosphere TV. Don't go away.
Franchise Today will be right back, but first a word from our sponsors.
Franchisors of restaurants, bars, and grills, and multi-unit franchisees, listen up. This message is for you. If you're looking to engage guests, elevate profits, and enhance your customer experience, Atmosphere TV is the answer. What's Atmosphere, you ask? Atmosphere is the world's number one streaming TV service for businesses, here to help you make more and save big on overpriced cable packages. Atmosphere provides you with a free programming option, bringing more than 60 ultra-engaging audio-optional channels designed to please customers and increase their average ticket. So, how does it work? Well, it's easy. Upon sign-on, Atmosphere sends you a free device loaded with over 60 channels of eye-grabbing entertainment. From news and sports to viral videos and fuzzy animals, every channel is family-friendly and designed to keep your customers happy and engaged. Plus, thanks to Atmosphere's 100% audio-optional format, the programming is perfect for any setting, no matter how loud or busy. So, stop playing and paying overpriced cable. Go with free TV instead. Just go to atmosphere.tv/signup and use the code franchise, and Atmosphere will waive the usual one-time $99 activation fee for your free-to-stream device. Visit Atmosphere online at atmosphere.tv, and remember, use the code franchise to waive your one-time activation fee. Visit atmosphere.tv to elevate your franchise's entertainment experience today. Colette Bell and her husband Andy began Handyman Matters back in the late 90s and ran it as a company-owned business in Colorado before expanding to California, and then the idea of franchising came along and the rest is history. This is a great story, and I love how she tells it. So with no further ado, I give you Colette Bell. Colette Bell, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Stan. It's an honor to be here.
Pleasure having you here. I'm really excited to learn more about the details of your journey. It's been one of those that reading about it from the PR firm touches the tip of the iceberg. And so, Colette, why don't we do what we do every week? Why don't we rewind the tape and take us back to that year? Oh, where was it? Sometime around the turn of the century? Can it be that long ago?
Yeah, that it can't be, Stan. I'm not old enough for that, but you're actually right. It was. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the very beginning started much like a lot of people's stories. My husband and I were married and both working corporate jobs and found out in late 1997 that I was pregnant and we were going to have our first child. And it was at that sort of moment in our lives that we decided we really didn't want to stay on the corporate treadmill. We wanted to have more flexibility in our lives. We wanted to be better parents for our children. My husband had a burning desire to play a bigger role than his dad had an opportunity to play in his life. And just, you know, sort of, you want to push the ball forward a little bit for your kids. So my husband wrapped up his corporate life, which was in restaurant management. Of course, that's nights, weekends, holidays. So he wrapped that up the end of 1997, turned the page to 1998, and was trying to decide what he wanted to do, reinvent himself, right? Which a lot of people in franchising, that's a lot how get into franchising really is the reinvention process. And we sort of by accident fell into the business model of handyman. And really not because my husband was wildly handy, he wasn't. But what Andy brought with him from his corporate restaurant experience was very high customer service. And he wanted to apply that basic tenet of customer service to the world of handyman. We just felt like there was a burning need for that, both for the homeowners who, you know, even today, gosh, 2.5 decades later, people have a hard time finding somebody reliable and professional, and they don't know where to go to get a good referral for somebody who can help them with small projects. But we also wanted to provide customer service for the craftsmen who are doing this work, because a lot of times, you know, just like homeowners struggle with connecting with them, a lot of times craftsmen struggle with connecting with good homeowners who actually pay them for all their time and effort and talent. So that was the industry he went into. We ran it here in Denver locally starting in 1998, started with a home and garden show in February of 1998. We were operating the business out of our basement, 2 sawhorses and a door without a door handle so we could stuff the computer cables through it. And we put a telephone number out in the marketplace, said handyman services, and of course the phone started ringing off the hook. And we tried every version of this business model you can imagine, because we weren't from the construction industry. We thought you should use subcontractors. That seemed to be everybody else's model. That was very similar to herding cats. It left a very unreliable experience for customers. So we transitioned over to W-2 employees, because Andy had been in restaurants in his previous life. His last restaurant had something like 142 employees. So management was not a struggle for him. He understood payroll and all that great stuff. So we transitioned over to W-2 craftsmen. That made a big difference in being able to control the schedules of those craftsmen. The customer knew we were going to be there on Wednesday at 1 p.m. if that's what they told them. And then, of course, we did all kinds of crazy ideas when it came to the size of projects. And what we landed on pretty much in 2000, the model sort of started sorting itself out. And what we landed on was a W-2 model. And we were really focusing on what we consider still to be a niche market, which is truly the handyman lane, small projects. Even today, our average project length is 4 hours. That's it. We're in and out of a customer's house. We're solving 1 or 2 small problems. We're not there at dinner time. We're not coming back the next day. So we're not remodeling. We're not building. We're really just doing the pesky little home repair and improvement tasks that a lot of times customers can't find any big general contractors to do anyway. And then I'm sure, like many, many people on your show have shared with you, we fell into franchising very accidentally. We were growing the business locally in 98, 99, everything was going great. We kind of felt like we had a business that could go bigger, but we weren't sure if maybe it was just something particular to Colorado. So we opened in 2000, 3 corporate locations in California. Because, I mean, California is a tough state. There's a lot of regulations. It's not notoriously friendly for W-2 business models. So we kind of had this attitude of, if we can figure it out in California, likely we could figure it out anywhere else. So we went there, opened 3 locations with people we didn't have any former relationship with. So we wanted to just kind of template that whole idea of 2 new people working together to make this business model work. And lo and behold, it took off in California. That's with some differences, right? You have to get a general contractor's license in California and got to make sure your pricing is right to cover the W-2 expenses in that state and things like that. But super great lessons. So we had 3 locations in Colorado, 3 locations in California. And out of the blue, in the newspaper, my husband saw a franchise law firm was running a competition, and you could go and pitch your business idea, and they were looking for businesses that had a lot of technology, right? And let's be honest, Dan, handyman doesn't have a lot of technology in it. We're still using hammers and saws, but on the back office side of things, we had really pushed a lot of technology, even though it was the late 90s and the early 2000s. We had put all of our customers into an access database because we had a lot of repeat business and I didn't want to keep asking customers what their address was. And we had used pagers for the craftsmen so we could page them. They knew where they were going the next day through technology and a lot of things like that. So Andy went down to the law firm, pitched the idea. Lo and behold, we win. And of course, the quote unquote winning proceeds was free legal work to set up your franchise. So he came home and he told me, he was all excited. Oh my gosh, we won. We're going to set up a franchise. And I kept saying, I don't even know how to spell that. Like, I don't, what does that mean? what is a franchise? What does that mean? And all I knew was food. I think that's true with a lot of candidates. They just assume everybody knows McDonald's and Subway and Dunkin'. You don't realize there's another, 3,997 other concepts out there that are franchising. So didn't know a lot about it, but it seemed like a good way to grow the business nationally. There's only so many hours in a day. We didn't have a big closet load full of money to be opening handyman businesses all over. And it really synergistically felt like a match with what we believe the handyman business was, which is it's very local. Customers want to know that the people who are fixing their home live in their market, know the different geographies, know the different building materials, know the different weather climate things that impact their house. And if anything should, heaven forbid, go wrong, you're right down the street and you're going to take care of their home and any issues that come out of that without being a centralized call center or located headquartered somewhere else. So Handyman was a great fit, we felt like, for franchising. So we spent the whole year of 2000 working with the law firm, writing the documents, just trying to read every book we possibly could, try to understand what it was, go to conferences. Very fortunate to meet a lot of great mentors. Denver just happens to be a pretty big hotspot of headquarters, right? You know, and we bumped into Michael Hay, who was doing a lot of great things back then with Maui Wowie, and he was very kind to spend a lot of hours with us, just kind of explaining the ins and outs of franchising. And we got our first, back then, UFOC, but today franchise disclosure document done in 2001. And we were like, okay, now we're going to sell franchises. Now, of course, we had no idea what we were doing. I tell people that some days I still don't feel like I know what I'm doing, but back then we definitely didn't know what we were doing. And fortune smiles upon those, I think, who are willing. So what happened was Andy was being interviewed in Denver on an article about his handyman business. And at the very end of the interview, he said, and we're franchising. I think it was literally like two words. And some gal in Denver read the article, called her brother who lived in Houston and said, Mike, I think I've got your next idea for a business. Fly to Denver, meet these people. You'd make a great handyman franchisee. So literally this guy walks in through our front door and says, hey, my name is Mike from Houston, and I'd like to talk to you about buying a franchise. We were like, what is happening here? How does that happen? So we still have that franchise territory open. So it's on its almost 25th year. It's under the second ownership, so it's only been transferred once, which we're pretty proud about. And then we were fortunate enough to get some good direction, and we got some great marketing put into place. We were welcomed into a lot of the different franchise growth groups, right? The Franchoices and the TESs and the FranServs and all the IFPG and all those great groups. And we started growing the franchise. And we grew slowly, intentionally, because like I said, at least we knew what we didn't know. And we knew we didn't know a lot back in those days. So first couple of years, I think we grew by 8 territories, 6 the first year, 8 the second year, 12 the year after that. And then we were really off and running. We saw some pretty big growth, like a lot of franchise concepts did in 04, 05. 06 started slowing down a little bit. We all know what happened in 08. We hit a recession. It was pretty devastating to the construction industry in general, because the banks and the mortgages and people losing their jobs and all the nice to have jobs went away when it came to home improvement. We just moved down to need to have, right? Even in a recession, if your toilet doesn't flush, you're going to call somebody. Right. You can't fix it yourself. So we lived on that. We kept everybody in the country in business from 08 to 2010, but we didn't grow any franchises. It was really all hands on board just to make sure everybody was staying in business, cut costs where we could, be clever where we could, learned a lot of great lessons from that. And then after the recession sort of lifted, we started growing again. And we hit 2019. We had 119 territories in about 26 states across the United States. So much to a lot of franchise consultant recommendations, we did not grow concentrically around our headquarters, which was Colorado, mainly because we'd broken that rule when we went to California in the first place. And we really found better success in a strategy of just growing with the right people. We believe anywhere in the United States, there's opportunity for a handyman business. What we want to make sure of is that we're growing in the right places with the right people, with the right franchisees. And super proud we've started this last year, and now certainly in 2024, we're going to have some franchisees signing their third 10-year contracts with us. So starting into their 21st business year. And I think that's at least a head nod towards the idea of grow with the right people. Be honest with them, especially in the beginning. We told everybody who was even interested in our model, not totally sure we know what we're doing, but we're going to be beside you shoulder to shoulder. We're going to take your good ideas. We're going to push them back up and out to the system. And really, like any other good franchise, most of our great ideas came from franchisees. So, and technology advances through the years and things like that. And then fast forward to 2018, we got a phone call from Ace Hardware.
I want to get to the Ace story. We'll roll most of that out after a break. But I was curious before we'd go to break to discover how that happened. How did they find you? Why did they find you? Were they intentional? How did that look? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So Ace Hardware, of course, is the 100-year-old hardware company headquartered in Oak Brook, Illinois. They do have a franchise disclosure document for the registration states. They're not actually a typical franchise concept because the business structure of Ace Hardware is a cooperative, which basically means it's a privately owned shareholder company. And the only shareholders in the company are the people who own the Ace Hardware stores. So at the end of every year, we just finished up 2023. Once the books are closed on the business at the corporate level of Ace Hardware, not the individual stores, but the corporate business, I haven't heard this year's numbers. But for an example, last year they did, I think it was $23 billion worth of business. They ended up with something like $324 million in profits. Every single dime of those profits is turned around and returned back to the hardware store owners, depending upon their share percentages. So every year the corporation starts with a zero balance. Well, what the shareholders, those Ace Hardware store owners, partially are tasking the corporate office with, in addition to running the business and doing the marketing and acquiring all of those nails and screws and little widgets and things like that in bulk that then they can offer to the franchise, the different retailers to sell. They're also tasking them with looking out into the horizon. Where is our business going? What changes do we need to make? What opportunities do we need to pay attention to? What threats are we going to avoid? And one of the opportunities that's been on Ace Hardware's horizon for actually quite a few years is services. They get asked all the time when a customer walks into an Ace Hardware store to buy a toilet flapper. And everybody thinks that should be so simple. And you get to the plumbing aisle and there's like seven different sizes, versions of toilet flappers. And for a lot of homeowners, all we know is the toilet flapper doesn't work. We didn't open the tank up to see what the brand was or what it looks like, anything like that. So what Ace was experiencing was a lot of customers who were buying things in their stores were then asking them, do you know somebody reliable who can help me with this? I want to buy this from you, but A, I don't know which one or which version or what size. And when I do get it home, I'm not totally sure I can make this happen. And that had been going on for quite a while. Really what it was, Stan, was it's been a shift in consumer mindset, specifically where trades are concerned, where we as a society moved from a very, very strong do-it-yourself environment. And that's the baby boomers, right? My great-grandfather built the houses that we lived in. My dad could tinker and fix it a little bit. My generation, and specifically me, no hope, right? I mean, even if I found a YouTube video. I don't own the right tools. If I do own them, I don't even know where they are in the garage because I don't use them very often. So this switch in the society from do it yourself to do it for me, that do it for me started growing up in the technology age. When a lot of us grew up with, you want something, you go onto Google, you order it, it shows up at your door 2 days later. It's pretty darn simple.
It's the Uber mentality that you're getting to.
It is the Uber. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to own it. I just want it when I need it.
I just want it when I need it. And I'm willing to pay for it when I need it, right? And so the baby boomers who still have the intellectual knowledge on how to work on their house, can't get on ladders, can't get on their hands and knees, right? Shouldn't be doing some of those physical sides. Intellectually, they know how to do the task, but physically it's becoming less feasible. And the other younger age, you know, our millennials who are buying houses, we know from studies, they're buying the house. They don't buy the ladder. They don't buy the drill. A lot of them don't even buy the sprinkler or the lawnmower, right? They just say, no, I'm not going to need that every day. today, like Uber. I'll use it when I need it. So Ace saw that transition come, and their question to themselves was, how can we continue to sell what we sell if our consumer is shifting to a do-it-for-me consumer? And the answer was, we'll sell what we sell to our handyman company, and then they can take it to the consumer's house and install it. So pretty brilliant strategy that they were looking. And that started, like I said, long before they contacted us. In 2018, there was the vice president of operations and the CFO of Ace Hardware who decided he was going to take on the challenge to move the needle in this project. And because they have some familiarity with franchising and a franchise disclosure document, he decided instead of reinventing the wheel and creating their own service department, he wanted to see what was out in the marketplace, what might be available for acquisition, for partnering, for a launch pad from there.
So did they put together like a beauty pageant and interview a bunch of companies?
That was it. That's exactly what they did, Stan. I think they just went and called every handyman company that was franchising. And you know, in 2018, gosh, that had to have been 16, 17 of us. As we all know, Mr. Handyman is under the Neighborly flag. And so they didn't feel, Ace didn't feel like there was much opportunity there. It was going to be pretty costly to get it out from underneath a private equity. And that private equity obviously has a clear path of home services. So I don't think they contacted Mr. Handyman, but I think they called the rest of us. And literally out of the blue, the phone call comes and my husband answers the phone. And this gentleman says, my name is Bill Guzik and I'm the CFO and vice president of operations of Ace. And I'm wondering if you'd be interested in talking about potential partnership. And my husband, Andy, said, yes. And I'll fly to Chicago on Monday. Because, you know, he hung up and he called me and he said, we've been doing this for 20 years and Ace has never called. We got to go figure out what they're thinking. So he took the executive team out to Oak Brook outside of Chicago, Illinois, had an opportunity to speak with the CEO and obviously the CFO who had called him and a bunch of other executives at Ace Hardware and really just explained what our business model was, right? As you know, Stan, in franchising, there's a million ways to cut an apple. And that's the beauty about franchising is you can have an industry like handyman, but you could do it a bunch of different ways. And we do, right? There's some concepts that are subcontractor based. There are some that focus more on remodeling. There are some that do handyman and a big grouping of sort of home services that they offer. So we went and explained what our business model was. Ace was very interested in our business model for a couple of reasons. One was longevity, right? We've been doing it since basically 2001 on the franchising side. The second thing they were interested in was the W-2 model, because what they were contemplating was here they have this amazing 100-year-old brand and everybody knows it by that crazy jingle. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks. And they were fearful of sharing that brand name with a less than controllable delivery on the service side. They didn't want to ruin their great reputation in hardware if we really weren't helpful on the service side. And they felt like W-2 employees gave us a much better opportunity to put standard operating procedures in place like we had and track employees through software like we had and just make sure that the experience that was happening in the home was consistent and was corporately designed and followed, which of course, you can't do a lot of those things if you have a subcontractor model. And then the other thing they loved about our particular version of doing handyman was that idea of being in the handyman lane. We really didn't do remodeling, and that's great because Ace Hardware doesn't have sinks. They don't have tile. They don't have countertops, right? They're not a remodeling store. That's Home Depot. That's Lowe's. That's Menards. That's those kind of bigger footprint stores. Home Depot is really usually 27 aisles of small things that can make a pretty big difference in your home, but they're not going to be a whole remodel or an addition to your house. So there was a really great synergy with the kind of work that we had been providing for customers and the way to then match that kind of work with the Ace Hardware system.
Yeah. Tell me again how many units you were at this moment in time.
Yeah, we had 119 at the time of acquisition. So acquisition, what it took us a year to get through due diligence. And that was quite an interesting experience for a business that started in the basement of their home. I wasn't the best at record keeping. And I kept telling them that. I'm like, I know I have that somewhere. Just let me find it. So it took us about a year to get through due diligence and then the full acquisition of really everything. They literally bought everything. They bought the franchise. They bought our local handyman business that's been in Denver since 1997. And then they retained all the staff. That was in September of 2019. And we had 119 territories.
All right. Let's park on that. Take a time out for a quick break. And okay. Let's come back and talk about everything that's happened since then and look ahead. good. Fair enough.
Sounds great.
We're talking today with Colette Bell, Vice President of Franchise Development and co-founder of Handyman Matters, which now, today, is owned and operated by Ace, your friendly hardware friends on the neighborhood corners all over the country. We'll be back with part two. Don't go away.
Franchise Today will be right back, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Franchise Today is brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering the only CRM tool built exclusively for franchising that lets you have it your way. Whether you're a single brand needing professional tools across departments or a portfolio of brands needing franchise-specific CRM across the enterprise, either way, FRM satisfies the needs of many with the power of one. That's right, one single instance of FRM is all it takes across departments or across brands. So if you've had it with inflexible, one-size-fits-all CRM, end your frustration today. FRM offers robust dashboarding, tailored reporting, and with open APIs, FRM pushes, pulls, and integrates with other databases, providing you with a single source of truth. Don't just take my word for it. Visit them at frmsolutions.com and order up a demo today. And my conversation continues today with Colette Bell. And we are at a place where we parked at the break at a point in time where we're in 2019 and we're at 119 territories operating. Now we are at the threshold of a name change, a branding change, an announcement to the franchisees, and a new business plan. So tell us all about that.
Yeah. Wow. How exciting. It still gives me chills. So there were a couple of transactional processes that I'm super grateful for during this acquisition. The first one was that Ace did everything they told us they were going to do. And at the same time, they did not do some of the things they told us they wouldn't do because we had asked them not to do them. And of course, in a big transaction like this, it's really a hope and a prayer when you're going into it. So the things that they did was they followed through with all of their commitments, which was first and foremost, we kept our corporate staff that was formerly with Handyman Matters. We kept that corporate staff intact in Denver. So even though Ace is headquartered in Oak Brook, Chicago, we've always been in Denver. You know, most of our employees were living and working in Denver, and we really didn't want to break that apart and try and figure out how to get absorbed into a big monster that was in Oak Brook, Illinois. The second thing that they followed through with on their commitments was C-suite or executive leaders, or however you want to define it, basically my husband and I stayed in place in leadership roles to this day. So here we are starting basically our fifth year with Ace Hardware. My husband is the CEO of now Ace Handyman Services. That was important, obviously, for us personally, right, Stan, because Andy and I really weren't ready to be done. My husband has a burning vision of improving home improvement for the better. And he didn't feel like he had met that particular vision when we were acquired by Ace Hardware. But instead, what he felt like was Ace provided a bigger stage and a larger microphone to try and make the changes that we still believe are necessary and needed within the world of home improvement. The second reason why we felt like keeping everybody intact, but certainly leadership as well, was for the franchisees, because you mentioned it, right? Now we got to go out to the franchise network. Lots of these people have been with us through thick and thin, through recession, through some really silly ideas that we had that didn't necessarily work. They had stayed with us, and we wanted to be able to go to them and say, we've been acquired by Ace Hardware. This is an amazing thing for your local business, because now you get to be associated with this brand name. It's an amazing thing for the franchise system as a whole, because brand equity means you now have a higher equity in this asset that you've been building and growing. But their biggest question was, what's going to happen to leadership? And really, particularly Andy. Most of our former franchisees would have told anybody who listened they bought because of Andy. He's very, very passionate. He's very driven. Success is the only option. That's just how he's always been as a human being, and it's how he's been as a leader. So that communication and that ability to put that structure into place kept every single franchisee that we had from Handyman Matters engaged in this new transition over to Ace Handyman Services, which we felt like a big success. And then they continued to give us resources. They promised they would, and they did. And one of the things they did that I don't know that our franchisees could ever really appreciate this, but I know from our chairs, we appreciated that. You know, when you go through a name change like that, everything has to change. Business cards and websites and truck wraps and trifolds and invoices and just the list goes on and on and on of marketing things that have to immediately come down and go back up. And so when Ace acquired us in September, they had filed for the federal trademark of Ace Handyman Services. As we all know, that's a march. It takes a little bit of time. Got approved in February of 2020, technically. We set a transition date. So literally the website, which is your biggest marketing driver, was going to go at midnight on March 1st. It was going to go from Handyman Matters to Ace Handyman Franchising. Of course, all the rerouting and all that great stuff, but that's what was going to happen. Ace paid for all of the new marketing materials for franchisees. Every dime. I think it was like $250,000 worth of business cards and truck magnet wraps and front door signs and everything. They replaced every piece of marketing material that our franchisees had. And as we all know, in franchising, that's technically, according to the franchise agreement, that's the franchisee's responsibility. But Ace, in goodwill, and again, we had thought that would be a really good move for them. They had gone through with that. So that was amazing. So close the door March 1st. Open the door March 2nd, 2020, Ace Handyman Services. And of course, we all know what happened March 17th of 2020, which is the world shut down in a pandemic. So it was a very quiet transition, I guess is the way I would explain that. But what an amazing time to be a services franchisee in the pandemic. And I always say that with a lot of honor and respect for our other fellow franchise concepts that weren't as fortunate in the pandemic.
I'm guessing that you were deemed essential services.
We were. Now, it took until about the end of April. Hardware right away, the hardware stores were immediately essential, but took some pushing. And again, how fortunate to have a company like Ace behind you to start helping push that a little bit on government levels. But yeah, Handyman was listed as essential about the end of April. So we had most of our franchisees were shut down middle of March through about the end of April. Gave us a chance to rework, right, all the SOPs. How do we transition to hands-free? So in the past, we would have customers sign our tablets or our cell phones to indicate that they agree with the contract. We had to transition all that to virtual and hands-free and all that great stuff. And I always tell people, Stan, it's so much better to be lucky than good. The winds of fortune on the pandemic for home services, particularly and handyman specifically, was that it was spring and we could transition to outdoor work. And we did a lot of it because customers were stuck at home and they necessarily didn't want somebody in the house sharing a virus with them, but they could have somebody in the backyard working on the deck or have somebody in the backyard working on the mulch or doing some siding work on the house or whatever. So for that whole first summer, people were not super excited about getting people into their house per se. They were fine being on the property, but not the house. And by the time we hit cold weather in the fall, everybody had kind of relaxed a little bit. And so for those customers that were comfortable with it, then we could move to indoor with masks and gloves. We always did booties, but we added the masks and gloves and kept all the signatures virtual instead of having them touch any of the machines or anything like that. But very, very fortunate. We blew up. Our franchisees, even though they were operating on a 10-month P&L for 2020, they did more sales than they did on a 12-month P&L for 2019 because of the name change. Ace brings with it an understanding of a discretionary customer that what we stand for is trust and loyalty. It's granted to us. We don't even have to earn it. Now you have to follow through in order to get a loyal customer, but you're really granted that first touch with a lot of trust and loyalty that we're going to do what we say we're going to do. So, and then the growth on the franchise side was tremendous. The first year, of course, we set our budgets in place before the pandemic, but our first year, our goal, now we started with 119 territories the beginning of 2020. Ace's first year growth was 50 territories, which right now sounds like a lot, even to me. I don't know why I was like, yeah, that's no problem. We actually grew by 61 that first year. So we exceeded our budget. And then 2021, our goal was 75 and we grew by 111. That was one really crazy year. A lot of fun, but a lot of crazy too. And then 2022, we grew by 88 territories. And then 2023, we grew by 68 territories. So oddly enough, we're at 388 territories today from 119, if you can believe it.
That is an amazing story. And yeah. I want you to eclipse it for us by putting a little icing on the top and then a cherry on top of that by telling us what you see over the next 1, 3, and 5 years in terms of your market penetration.
Yeah, super exciting, obviously. We'll start with the furthest out goal. So really the long-term goal that Ace Hardware has for the handyman services is they would like the handyman services to cover and be available in 90% of the markets where they have Ace hardware stores. Now, interestingly enough, for a 100-year-old business, they grow a lot every year. I think last year they grew by 160 stores. They are still in growth mode, which to me is exciting and actually a little mind-numbing all at the same time. So I'll round up, but they have about 5,000 domestic stores. So in order for the handyman services to cover that many stores, we have math on our side because a typical handyman territory, unlike a hardware store that's like a restaurant or a retail location that has a territory of radius miles around it, a handyman service, because we're going to customers, we create our territories with a static map of zip codes and basically a geography, if you want to think about it that way. And so it's pretty common for one of our handyman territories to have inside of that territory 3 to 4 Ace hardware stores. So if we can get our territory number up to close to 1,000, we are going to be covering pretty close to 90% of the Ace hardware stores that at least that exist today in the United States. Right now, we're on a run rate of about 75 new territories a year. The other key to Ace hardware is they also believe in what we have termed responsible growth. It's not growth for the sake of growth. It's not growth to hit an arbitrary number that everybody puts together in November for the next year, but it's to make sure that we are putting the handyman business in the right places with the right people so that you're not trying to bang a square peg into a round hole.
I call that sustainable growth through sensible franchising.
Yeah, I love that term. I love it. I'm going to steal that and use it. So grow by about 75 a year, but let's make a run for the 1,000. On the leadership side, if anybody hasn't had an opportunity to hear John Van Huysen, who is the CEO of Ace Hardware, he's an amazing person. He is an amazing leader. He's been at Ace Hardware for 25 years. He started in the marketing department right out of college and eventually moved up to the CEO. But his sort of passion point really matches very well with my husband Andy's passion point, which is the trades. They really want, and we started rolling out, thanks to Ace Hardware, an apprentice program, a training program for maybe high school kids who are coming out of high school and not wanting to go to a four-year college, but wanting to learn a trade. And let's face it, there's some plumbers and electricians that are making great money out there without the four-year college debt that some people are carrying. John Van Huysen is very passionate about that. And this is a labor force that we have to participate in. We've got to help build the next generation of tradespeople because American society made a choice about 10 years ago, and we got rid of these kinds of electives in high school, right? You don't find mechanic or auto shop. You don't find woodworking. All those have gone by the wayside, and everybody's focusing on technology, which is great and a big demand, but we're going to get to a point where, and when I say we, I mean all of us, not just those of us in the construction and trade industries, but all of us who own property that we can't work on, we're going to need people to be going into this as a career plan.
Well, we all know too, there's a disappearing workforce, and having a career development program like the one you've just described is going to assure that the top tier of available labor is at your disposal.
That's right. And this is one thing that I have not been able to ask ChatGPT to do for me, which is fix a hole in my drywall. So until we get to the point where AI has any sort of robotic consistency, this is going to continue to be an industry that's done by tradespeople with their talented hands and their knowledge. And we're really trying to put together a formal program where anybody who wants to come into the trades can move into an earn while you learn mode so that they're not just money out trying to get an education and then hoping for money in that'll cover living expenses and then whatever debt they incurred, but actually make it an earn while you learn sort of a program.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation, Colette, and I know there are people out there that are going to want to ask more. So how about some contact info so they can find you again?
I'd love it. So our franchising website is acehandymanfranchising.com, but my email is C@acehandymancorp.com. And you know, the beautiful thing, and you, I know you probably say this probably every week, Stan, but the beautiful thing about franchising is we're all in this together. It's just not as competitive as people think it is. We were very good friends with the other handyman concepts that are franchising, and we share best practices. So I'm happy to answer questions, provide resources, whatever I can do for listeners that have some curiosity. curiosity and need a good direction to be pointed in.
Well, you're right. That's what we're all about. That's Colette, it's been a real pleasure, and I can't thank you enough. I'm sure I speak that on behalf of the entire audience, because I always tell my guests that if people remember half of what they heard, you're lucky. But the one thing they'll never forget is how you make them feel and make people comfortable. So I'm sure that you're going to get a lot of great feedback from this interview today.
Well, thank you, Stan. Like I said, I'm honored to participate. I have seen and known of you in the world of franchising for a really long time and respect everything that you've done. And I appreciate you doing these kinds of things, right? We need to get more information and get the word out on franchising. It's an amazing industry.
Could not agree with you more. Colette, thanks again. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Stan.
Next week is a special edition of Franchise Today, as we'll be joined by my sponsor, Atmosphere TV, when John Smolin, Senior Vice President of Sales and Distribution for Atmosphere, takes the stage and joins us right here on Franchise Today. Until then, I'm Stan Friedman, wishing you the best, the very best of all things franchising, and Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Today is a production of FRM Solutions, providing best-in-class CRM tools to empower relationships with prospective and existing franchisees. Find them online at frmsolutions.com. Join Stan every Wednesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Franchise Today. Or, as always, download episodes on demand at blogtalkradio.com.